Hello and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We are looking at Jeremiah 29. And as we go to this scripture to begin our scripture of God holds the future in his hands, I'm reminded that God has told us through his Son that we are to love him, love others, and go. Because in that reality that all of this scripture that we're going to look at here today is summed up. Because as we love God, we find our desire to walk into this word and to bring it into our lives that we may know him better. This is not an and or, this is a both, where we love God for whom he is and the relationship that we have. But how do we build that relationship lest we know what he desire of us? And that through the scripture. And that is why is an and, both. Because it is not one or the other. It is not a relationship. It is not the word. It is both. Because that relationship comes from his word. That we may then go and love others in that wholeness, in that holiness. And in that, it is our going. So today, as we come to this sermon, this is one of my favorite scriptures. In fact, this is the scripture that the Lord used to call me out of the world and back unto him when my life changed and he brought me back to him when I was 32 years old. This is the word of the Lord. May we take heed to his word. From 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Now, we all know that this scripture is the scripture given to Israel as they were getting ready to come back from exile, as God had moved them out because of discipline. But I want us to think about this because are we not Israel? If we are in Christ, are we Israel? Well, the answer to that question is yes, we are. We have been ingrafted into Israel through Abraham, according to God's very own word. So when we look at what is happening here, because I have several pastor friends that they tell me, well, you know, you can't preach some of this stuff because it was meant for Israel and it's not meant for the church. Excuse me, is not the church in Israel? Have we not been ingrafted into Israel? So therefore, all of the scripture is available to the church. All of the teaching that God is giving is right to the church because we are right with him. We are now his chosen people. Can I get an amen? Because he has called us by name into his son, and his son has brought us into the adoption of sonship, and we are now full heirs. There is no illegitimacy in Christ Jesus. So therefore, as we look at this, we can play this to our lives. How many of us were born a sinner? Yeah, every hand should be in the air. Exactly. We were all born sinners. We were all born in exile. Each and every one of us was in exile when we were born. Now, I'm going to tell you this. God does have an age of innocence, does he not? For our children's sake. Because they don't know better. All right? And until they reach that age of accountability, which according to the scriptures is for Jesus, it was around the age of 12. That's when he went and presented himself and accepted his faith. We know that is the bar mitzvah of a male child in Israel, a bat mitzvah for a female child. In our world, we use confirmation. How many of you understand that? Here we are, German reformists, and it's like, well, where does this all fit then, Pastor? Well, I have to look at it and say to myself, when we baptize a child, we are bringing them into the faith of the family, just as circumcision brought them into the faith of the family. And now we must bring them through confirmation, where they must confirm the faith that we, the church, and their parents have brought them into. Can I get an amen, church? It's understanding our German Reformed tradition, heritage, and theology. Because the tradition and heritage is not simply something that stands alone, it stands on theology, the understanding of the Word and understanding God, the study of God. So when we come to these words then, what is he talking about? Going back to verse 10, he says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you and bring you back to this place." We were born into innocence, and God keeps us for a period of time. Then he lets us go, because what does the scripture say? And I love it. I love it. I love it. It says, "Train a child up in the way they shall go, and when they get old, they shall not depart from it." How many of you had to sow your oats while you were a young person? A lot of us are raising our hands. Some of you never left the Lord. Some of you were accepted into the Lord when you were a child and you walked with him all the days of your life. God bless you. That's the better testimony. Can I get an amen? But it ain't mine. I had to do it the hard way. How many of you had to do it the hard way? Yeah, their hands went up. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We can almost all reckon that one. So here we are. We are those who were in exile. We were away from the Lord. And then, that's why verse 12 says then, because as we got older, he began wooing us through the power of the Holy Spirit, didn't he? Drawing our hearts to recognize there is a God. There is somebody I have to answer to. And what's his name?
Jesus.
And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Because God cannot listen to us while we are estranged from him. But when we're on our way back, when we're making those prayers go up and those supplications go up, God begins to turn his ear to us because we are coming back to him. It's like the prodigal son. It's like the prodigal son. The prodigal son, when did the father actually go after the prodigal son? He was after the prodigal son the whole time he was gone. Do you remember the story? He was standing looking and he saw him coming afar off. In other words, the father was looking for him from the day he left. And the father tells us that he holds the future in his hands, doesn't he? What did verse 11 say? It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." We lit the prophecy candle today. And everybody knows that all the prophecy in the scriptures, everything that is in there points to Jesus. But what about us? Does God talk about us in the scriptures? Yes, he's talking about us right here. God knows everything. He knows all of us. Before the creation of the world, every human being that would ever exist, God knew us. And you know, I think it's funny, because when I say God knew us, it wasn't just he knew our name. He knew you. He knew every mistake you were going to make, every good thing that was going to come into your life. He knows the hairs on our head. That's how intimate God knows our future. And he has a plan for us, a plan to prosper us, a plan for welfare, not for calamity. And that is our hope. That is our hope. Because Jesus is our hope, and we know he was meant to come, and we need to understand that God meant us to come along too. He predestined us to be here today, to take this communion together, to sing the songs that we've sung and the ones we're about to. Amen, Miss Susan? And he knows that there are other people that need to be in this facility. He knows their names, and he's waiting for us to get to know their names. And when we do, then we're going to be an even bigger family, because I'll guarantee you, God treats all his children the same. Can I get an amen? He says, "Everything I have is yours." And we all have an inexpressible joy that comes from that reality. But when does it happen? It says that it'll happen when you seek me and find me, when you search for me with all your heart. I think that's one of the things that we need to understand, is God doesn't just want a recognition. God wants your heart. God wants all of you seeking after him, because he's going to give you all of him. God doesn't hold anything back. And when you seek him with all your heart, he says, I will be found by you. How many of us longed for that day and can remember it way back when? You know, I think it's funny. There are people who can tell you the day, the hour, you know, all that. I can simply tell you it happened and what happened on that day. I can't remember what day it was. I don't know if it was a Monday, a Tuesday, a whatever it was. But I know on that day I was changed forever. And the day didn't seem important to me. But the reality of the relationship that began has been my life's focus. And I pray for each and every one of you that it is your life's focus, because it is our hope. God is still speaking into our lives. Can I get an amen? Because he knows what tomorrow holds. How many of you would go back and like to relive some of your yesterdays? You know, I got people saying, no, I don't want to do that. That hurt. I don't want to do it. And we got other people saying, oh, yeah, I'd like to do that. Change some things, right? Sorry, you only get one time around. I want you to think about this. How many of us read the Bible and we don't think anything about our life when we're reading the Bible? And what do I mean by that? This. How many of us would read the Bible differently if you could never turn the page back? How many of us would read the Bible differently if you could never turn the page back? Once you read one page, you can't go back and reread it. Because that's the way life is. Once that page has turned, we can't go back and reread it. We can't go back and redo it. Aren't you glad the Bible isn't that way, that we can go back and reread it and reread it and reread it and reread it? Because that's what it means to search him with all our heart. Because we're ever growing, isn't that right, Miss Susan? We're ever changing. You're not the same lady you were 10 years ago, are you? No. How many of you are the same person you were yesterday? You're not. None of us are. We need to be able to go back to this word. We need to be able to go back to our Lord and say, I need more, not less. Don't give me just one time through this word. I'm only going to get one time through this life. But Lord, please help me let it get it right. And that's what he's telling us. This prophecy, it's being spoken to you, but you're going to have to go back and visit it again and again and again and again. And in that, we will find the true heart of God and we'll grow ever more. Because God has a plan for our lives, and that plan is to get us to the place of a future that we have yet to get to. You know, I talk with some of our older folks, and you know, and I think it's funny because, you know, I'm you know, it's terrible. I'm getting to be one of them older folks. But I love it. I love it. Because in that I realize I'm not the same anymore either. I'm not as hard as I used to be. I'm not as mean as I used to be. At least I pray not. I'm looking at my wife. And I'm praying that God's grace is more abundant from me because of how abundant has been upon me. Can we all say amen for that? Because we need it. We need him. But we need to grow, and we need to see what God has in store for us. Turn in Isaiah to Isaiah 46. It's back just a couple of pages. It's back just a couple of pages. Isaiah 46, verses 8 through 10. Because I want us to understand that before the beginning of time, God knew where we were going to be. God knows where we're going to be. God understands that we need to be able to come back and learn again and again and again. You know, I think about it, you know, I have a little 5-year-old granddaughter and a 2-year-old grandson and a 5-month-old grandson now, or 4-and-a-half-month-old grandson now. And I do praise the Lord, because we were told we wouldn't have any grandchildren, and I got 3. So those doctors are liars, and God's the truth. Amen. So when I look at this word, it's a hope unto me. And a hope is a prophecy. It's pointing forward. A hope is that which is yet to come. And this is what he says from verse 8. Thus saith the word of the Lord. Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish my good pleasure. Do you know it is God's good pleasure to call you his child? What does that mean? When he looks upon you, he sees Jesus Christ. He sees the perfect Son who obeyed him in every manner. Now, are we obeying him in every manner? No, we got a long way to go. Aren't you glad we can go back and reread this? That's why he tells us, remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind. Remember the former things. Remember what you were, but now remember who you are. And then begin to walk in accordance to that truth. Because the world declares that you're worthless. The evil one is constantly accusing us before the Father in heaven that we are less than whole, less than perfect. How many of you, when you mess up and you try to get it right and you try to walk right and you try to witness to somebody, you try to be that good person, that little thing is whispering in your ear, who do you think you are? Do you remember when? And I want you to remember when Jesus came into your life, when Jesus is the one who said, I am your hope. I am your Savior. I am setting you free. You are mine. You are bought with a price. You are sealed. This will be forever. It doesn't go away. Our Lord and Savior's prophecy does not go away. It stands the test of time, and it will bring forth its work. Did we not just read that from verse 10? Yes, we did. And you are that work. As we enter into Advent, you need to realize that there's another Advent that is happening. And every day we anticipate meeting Christ. How many of you wake up every morning and you say a prayer? Lord, guide me, keep me strong, move me forward. I know Whitey back here, he was praying awful strong. And God saved him from a catastrophe. I saw the video, talked with him about it this morning. He almost went off a bridge. Part of his truck did. And he's still alive. He's here with us, and he has a hope and a future too. Amen, dear brother. And now I'm thinking about Pastor David, who's at home watching us right now. And to you, brother, I speak the truth, that in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been set free. In the Lord Jesus Christ, your tomorrows are guaranteed. And I know right now he's saying amen and amen and amen. And the church better be saying amen. Not only for him, but for Sister Susan, for Brother Mitch, for Sister Marion. And I could keep going back through, because I know there are many of us who are dealing with things right now. But we need to remember who is the God of all things, who has set his purpose into plan, and he will accomplish that plan to the glory of his great name. Amen and amen. You and I need to understand, God has this thing set. From the beginning of the earth, Jesus Christ crucified. Before the foundations of the earth, Jesus Christ crucified. And I think it's amazing, because that was written in the last chapter of the Bible. Do you think Satan understood that when he thought he won by having Christ on the cross? I think it's one of the most amazing things in all of history. Because Satan literally thought he won. He is lied to himself so much. And all he is the father of lies. And we need to remember that when he's speaking against us, all he is doing is lying, because he is denying the very thing we just did. He's denying the cross of Christ. He is denying the brokenness of Christ on our behalf. He is denying the shedding of the blood of the innocent Lamb of God on our behalf. Why does he do that? Because it doesn't apply to him. It only applies to us. Satan is so jealous of our relationship that he will lie to us every step of the way to get us to remove ourselves from the presence of God. And I need you to hear this. Jesus Christ has said, no one can snatch you from my hand. And that is a truth. That is our hope. And it is a sure hope. It's not a hope like the world where it's wishy-washy and we don't know it's going to happen. We know it has happened. Can I get an amen? Because the cross of Calvary has happened. Jesus Christ has ascended. And now we wait for the day when he comes again. But the thing of it is, you and I aren't going to see that day. You all do realize it, right? We're not going to see that day. We're going to see another day. We're going to see the day when the church gets raptured up. Now, we will be there the day that he comes again. But where are we going to be? We're not going to be in front of him. We're going to be behind him. Because we're going to be riding white horses coming in behind him as his bride when he brings all the angels and all the saints and he does battle against all the evil in this world. So we are coming again with him. We are going to see that coming again, but we're not going to be in front of him. We're not going to be the ones receiving that coming. We're going to be in the coming. Can I get an amen, church? And to that be the glory of God, because he will establish his kingdom at that point in time, for he will have wiped out all evil, sending Satan into the abyss for 1,000 years until he be loosed again for a little time, because Israel has to be tested one more time. And when I say Israel, I mean the Jews. Because the nation Israel is not the Jews. Okay, what we see now, we are the United States of America. We see the UK. We see Germany. We see all these nations. What is called the nation of Israel is not the people God is talking about when he's talking about Israel. Who are the people he is talking about? They are the spiritual Israel. They are the people who are the descendants. They are not the foreigners who are in the land. They are not the government who is in the land. These things have been established by men. And if you start looking into some of these things, you're going to find out just what I mean by that. Because there's a lot going on that Israel's responsible for, and it's not good. But I don't mean the Jewish Israel. I mean the political Israel. And I want you to think about that, because is that not what was going on when this took place? The political Israel were the ones who were being disciplined, because spiritual Israel was trying to follow the Lord. How do we know that? Because we also know that in the time of Christ, who did he come to first? Israel, to his own. And some of them did receive him. Some of them didn't. And it's the same today. But now he goes out into all the world through the apostles, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through us, to bring others into the kingdom, that we may be one with him the way he predestined it to be. So God still has a plan, and he's moving forward in that plan. And that plan tells us that it is going to achieve, according to verse 10, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. That is God's word to each and every one of us. That is your knowledge that the things that are happening in your life are happening to bring you into that place where you are one more day, one more thing, one more event, one more closer to being that perfect image of Jesus Christ. Yeah, but I don't like the way this thing is going. You're not supposed to, because God's changing you. How many of us like change? We want everybody else to change, don't we? We want all the stuff around us to change, don't we? But when I say you need to change, well, who do you think you are? I'd like to see y'all tell God that. He knows who he is, and so do we. We just have a hard time admitting it, don't we? When we want to be a stiff-necked people, we can be one right out of the gate. And God says, it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to discipline you for a little while. How many of you have been in that place? And it don't feel good. But then he's going to say, now I want you to go back and remember. I want you to go back and remember who I am. Why I'm doing this. Because I'm bringing you into justification. I'm bringing you into, what's the word, church? Progressive sanctification. Because we are sanctified fully in Jesus Christ, but he's looking at us at the end when he makes us fully sanctified. But what are you and I doing right now? You know, I think it's funny because we read the scripture that we are to work out our salvation in gladness and joy. Miss Dottie laughed on that. Why are you laughing? It says with fear and trembling, doesn't it? Yeah, it does, with fear and trembling. You know, I love it because I had a conversation with a couple of our teenagers now. They're in their 20s now. But they said, you know what? I shouldn't have to fear my parents. And I just looked at them and said, oh my, you need to read the word, dear sister. Because it says in the word that we are to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is respect, it's love, it's adoration, okay? But it's also a little bit of I'm afraid, because if I do something stupid, I know I'm going to get disciplined. How many of us treat our parents like that? Now here we are, we're parents, and we expect our kids to listen, and we have a problem with them when they don't. Well, guess what? They're just you a little bit younger. Because they're doing the same things you did, and now you got to deal with it. My mama always told me, my grandchildren are going to be my vengeance. Praise God that he took five of our little ones and he raised them. One was bad enough. But now I look at that young man, and I joy in my heart. Because things are so different for him. But that's only because I began walking with the Lord. You know, parents, we're the blessings unto our generations. Your parents, if they were in Christ, are the blessing unto your generation. Because he says, to those who love me, I will love them to the thousandth generation. But to those who hate me, I will curse them unto the third and the fourth generation. So we need to understand that we're walking in blessing. My children are walking in blessing because I started to get things right. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with him. It has to do with his glory. It has to do with his honor and how he's going to work in those who come after us. So he knows. He knows. He's prophesied. He has said these things are going to happen and your children are going to be blessed because you're walking with me. Doesn't say it's going to be easy, but it's going to happen. It doesn't say it's going to be easy for your children either, does it? How many of us as parents look at some of the things our kids go through and we weep? And we wonder why? Why does this have to happen? Because God's working on them too. Aren't you glad? That doesn't mean we laugh at them or we ridicule them. It means we walk through it with them because we've been through the discipline. We've been through the stuff. And we need to remember that some of that stuff in this world will tear our children to the point where we need to be lifting them up. We need the church around us to raise up a holy community under the Lord. Can I get an amen? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if it weren't for the church, my son wouldn't have turned out the way he did. There are men in the church that need to stand up. There are women in the church that need to stand up. training up these young people because they are our responsibility. We are a family. We are all brothers and sisters, and we need to come together. And in that coming together, we'll raise up generations. That's how a church works in the community. Did you ever realize that? You know, I'm looking at a congregation that we've been in the church for years. Isn't it amazing that when we were young, where did you go? You went to church, didn't you? They had church functions, and you would go. How many of you married your sweetheart that you knew from church or from school, and then you started going to church together and all that good stuff? Church played an integral part. What did the world do? The world shut the church down. We don't want the church doing this. We want, you know, you're going to go to the school. We're going to do the stuff at the school. We're going to go to the community center. We're going to go to the bars. You know, we all been there. We all know what it's all about. God says, no, bring them back. Bring them back. Bring them back into the fold. Teach them what I have taught you. And in that, they will walk with me. And when they seek me with all their heart, they will be found by me, declares the Lord. And he says, my word will bring it to pass. And we also need to understand he has one more word for us. That's in the book of Ephesians. In this line of thought, I have one more thought I'd like to give you from the book of Ephesians, if you would, please. Ephesians, we're going to be in chapter 1. This is our longest scripture, and I want you to pay attention to this because I can't preach all of this, you know, with 4 minutes and 39 seconds left. So I want you, and I've planned on this because I took you way out last week. You got an hour last week, and I want to praise you all for that. But I wanted to get that sermon out because I knew what was coming here, and I didn't want to make it a two-part. But this week, the Lord laid this scripture on my heart, and he's asked me to ask you a question. Would you please read this scripture throughout this week and meditate on what he is telling us here? Because again, God is prophesying into our future here. And he has things he wants to relay to each and every one of you from verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him, in love, he has predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, the him being Jesus Christ, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Can I get an amen in the house? Folks, what did we just read? That's everything I've been talking about. God has promised us this redemption. He has promised us the future where you and I will be as Christ. And he has given us the Holy Spirit to guarantee that. And today we are here by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the prophesier of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who delivered these prophecies to men. And now you are part of that prophecy and everything that God is going to do from beginning of your relationship with him to the end when we are made whole like him. Today, I really do. I want you to read this through all week. There are nuggets in here. There are depths of truth in here that each and every one of us needs to plumb in our lives. Because God here is telling you and I that there are going to be things coming, but we need to understand we are predestined. We need to understand we are adopted. And God, when he adopts, you are a full son or daughter. There is no seconds. Okay? Number one, it is by his hand that we were created. Yes, we were procreated through our parents, but who gave our parents that ability? God the Father. And he knew every one of us before we were ever created. We are predestined to be his children. He has lavished on us all wisdom and insight. Where do we find that wisdom and insight? Right here, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the guarantor. But we have to believe it. We have to receive it. We have to walk in it. We have to search it out. You know, I think it's funny. When we go to school, we learn knowledge, right? No, I think we learn a system. I think we learn a system. Because there are things that they've taught us in school that are wrong. And if you're anything of an intelligence buff, a person who's looking into things intently, especially today, you know, how many of you know the new math just don't work? I mean, I've been around for 63 years, and I don't know how they figure this stuff anymore. And I just think to myself, what are they doing to our kids? They're making things so hard for them. But then they give them computers and all this different stuff. So when it does come to figuring this stuff, as long as you know how to push the buttons, you'll get the right answer. But if you got to figure it in your head or write it down, if you got to cipher it out, how many of you remember the long division? Kids today, long division, 15 divided by 2, and it's 5 buttons on a computer. And they don't know how to do it because we have dumbed down our children. Now, wait a minute, you're saying my kids are dumb? Yes, my kids are dumb because that's the system they've learned. We need to take it back and we need to begin to remember, taking this all the way back to our first scripture. Remember from long ago. New isn't always good, is it? New isn't always the best. It may be bright and shiny, but 9 chances out of 10, it's made out of plastic. And y'all know what I mean by that when I say it. It just doesn't last, does it? Timeless, from the beginning to the end, timeless. As many times as they've tried to destroy this word, as many times as they've tried to discredit it, do you realize there are over 1,000 more proofs of this word than there is any other book in existence? And yet, it's the most disputed. Why is that? Because it's his word. And it calls us into account. And in this word, he assures us that we are his hope and his future. What does the world want you to think you are? God says it's finished. How many of you are waiting for the end of the story? You know, I used to watch Paul Harvey. And there will be a day when we'll all get in heaven. We'll all be standing there with all the saints. And God's going to say, this is the rest of the story. How many of you long for that day? for the rest of the story. There's so much that hasn't been written here because this is for just while we're here. There's an eternity coming where this book, we're going to be standing face to face with him. Because we know in the book it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. He has spoken it. He has said it. He has set it into place. Let us now set our hearts on the hope that is yet to come. Would you pray with me? Father God, we know you hold the future and you hold it in your hand. And to that we give you thanks, because we know we can trust you to bring about the great work that needs to happen in each and every one of our lives and in the life of this church and the community in which we now find ourselves, and to which we give you thanks. For Lord God, as we, your children, long after you with all our hearts, your word declares it, that we will find you. And in so doing, we'll find who we really are, and we'll find ourselves. And in that, we'll have purpose. In that, we'll have peace. In that, we'll have you. And we thank you for that. In the name of your Son, who is Jesus the Christ. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.